All right, folks, so we're going to call the meeting to order. We now have a quorum. Caitlin, do we need to do a roll call?
Yes, I will call members in alphabetical order by last name. Feel free to state your affiliation when I get to you, just sharing the roster. Anthony, could you help share what I'm screen sharing on Zoom? Or thank you. I'll go ahead and get started. Jonathan Bishop.
Here.
Tom Ford.
Present.
Dean Francois.
Here.
Gloria Gray. Gloria, you may have to dial *6 to unmute yourself.
Here. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you. Thank you, Gloria.
Here. Thank you.
Oops. Tracy Lovrick.
Present.
Annalisa Moe.
Here.
Karen Mogus.
Here.
Michael Quill.
Here.
And Erica Yelensky.
Here. Thank you.
Okay. That'll conclude roll call. I recommend we move to item one for public comment.
Okay. Caitlin, we have members for public comment?
Yes, we received 4 requests in advance. The first request we received is from Walter Lamb. Walter, you should be able to unmute yourself. Just give me one moment to share your slide. And Luke will be tracking your time for 4 minutes. We'll let you know when you have about a minute left. You now have the floor.
Thank you, Caitlin. I appreciate it. Obviously it goes without saying that, a very difficult way for so many people to start off the new year. And to anyone who's affected, we've all been affected indirectly and know people, but if anyone has been affected directly, I think it's fair to say that the entire community has come together to, try to support in any way. So I hope that everyone's doing okay. And obviously things like this put everything in perspective. Obviously there's still important work to do. I think, why this meeting's going forward. But I just wanted to throw that out there. Back in 2023, we noticed a considerable drop-off in early 2023, noticeable drop-off in activity and worsening of conditions at the Bay Foundation's ice plant removal site that had been going on by that time, I think, for about 7 years. And we were trying to get information about that. And then in May, there was this totally unrelated court ruling related to the California Environmental Quality Act, which ordered CDFW to decertify their EIR and not to do anything associated with the project that would have adverse conditions on the environment. And what we didn't learn, so then in May of that same year, apparently the Bay Foundation took that ruling as an opportunity to halt work at the project and basically abandon the project, but they didn't tell anybody. Certainly didn't tell us, and I don't believe anyone on the commission was notified until December of 2023, after the chair in October had asked for an update. And that's when we learned that the Bay Foundation had halted their work. But what was said at the time was that they were waiting to hear back from CDFW as to whether they could continue their work. And what I literally just learned last week, unfortunately, is that they were told 5 days after they sent the letter in May that they could continue their work. And I've communicated that to many of you, this information that's on the slide here. For a long time, I've been coming to these meetings. There's obviously a disconnect. And I suppose if I was sitting in your chairs, I could see that, you could feel as though maybe members of the public just come to, make people feel bad or put them on the spot. And I don't know how to communicate that that's not the case. If you come to the wetlands, then I think you see for yourself the value, what's great about the wetlands, what needs improvement. It's incredibly frustrating and disheartening when these narratives get put out there. It's just false. It's just brazenly false. I mean, literally when the NEP director was saying, were waiting for a response. Like they had gotten a response literally 5 days after they sent the letter, saying expressly, your authorization is still good. There's no need for you to stop. Nobody else stopped work. We're doing work. Friends of Mine in Wetlands is doing work. There's a Channel Islands group that's doing work on Pampas. Nobody stopped work except for the Bay Foundation. And we do not believe for a second that the lawsuit, that they felt even that the lawsuit had anything to do with it. So I guess the question comes down to, I guess, two things. One is we want to be forward-looking. If the Bay Foundation never comes back to the wetlands, to be honest, we'll be happy. They just haven't helped anything. And it's been
Apologies,
frustrating.
Walter. You have about 30 seconds
Okay,
left.
thanks. What I want to do is focus on the total maximum daily loads, which is a Clean Water Act mechanism for doing exactly what we need to do at Biona, which is to address the invasive species. It would be really great if Heal the Bay and LA Waterkeeper, the two organizations that way back in the 90s sued to get these TMDLs created in the first place, would be supportive of TMDL enforcement implementation. There's been a lot of talk about a resolution, and I think at this point we just need to cut to the chase and enforce the TMDLs. It would be great if this
That
commission.
is time, Walter. Thank you.
Okay, thank you for your comments, Walter. Next we have speaking is Robert Vandehoek. You will have 4 minutes under this item. Give us 1 moment to start sharing your timer. And the next to speak will be Marcia Hanscom, followed by Suzanne Cumming. Robert, you should now be able to unmute yourself. You have the floor. I see you're unmuted, Robert, but we can't hear you if you're speaking. We still cannot hear you. Yeah, perhaps we'll move to Marcia Hanscom next, and then Robert will try you again after Marcia's comment. Apologies for that.
Oh, this one. Got it. A different button. Okay. Honorable Executive Committee, Marcia Hanscom with Defend Biona Wetlands and the Coastal Lands Action Network. First of all, I too want to recognize and honor the people who have passed away, the people who have lost their homes, some including the executive director of one of the members here, not one here today, but one of the governing board members. So many people have had tragedy this year already. So I hope I'm speaking in support of us all working together on something. And I believe that the motion that Mayor Francois brought up at the last governing board meeting, I believe it's maybe ready to get put on the next governing board meeting's agenda. And I hope it will get put on there because I do think there are things that we can all agree on if we all got in a room together, which we should have been doing for the last 17 years and haven't been. But if all the stakeholders were in a room together, I think there are things that we could agree on and should agree on and could work in support of. And to what Mr. Lamb was talking about, I think that that would help. Because there are different views. You know, in the environmental impact report for the Biona wetlands, there was a plan or there was a statement that most of the wetlands are filled with invasive species. That's just not true. There are hundreds of acres of land there that are filled with native species and that are doing very well there. And if we could like look at these places together and show each other what is what, and have you know, some qualified biologists, botanists there to say, oh yeah, that is this, that is that. And some of the things that Walter Lamb was speaking about the Bay Foundation Friends project that's so discouraging is that many more invasive non-native species are growing there where they were supposed to be taking out non-natives. And they did take out some, but instead of planting some natives, you know, immediately, there's disturbance. And whenever you have disturbance, non-natives, invasives come in. And so we need to have some people who have some experience in this all around the table. And I think that that is the spirit in which Mayor Francois' motion is being put forth. And I actually think that now we have a new regional manager at California Department of Fish and Wildlife, that she's probably going to be open to doing that too. She's got a very strong wildlife and botany background herself, and I think that she could help us. We could, you know, if we really had someone, a good facilitator in the room, we could come to some agreement on some positive things to do together. So those are my thoughts about this whole thing, and I hope that you enjoy the calendars that I've given you and that you can see how much life, and that's just a little teeny bit of what's there, but it's not dead and dying. It's not overrun and completely in horrible shape. It's actually in very good shape. There are things we can do, though, that could make it better. But digging it all up and having a 9-year construction project is not something it's controversial. And many, many people in the community don't like it, and many of the environmental groups don't like it. So let's do something else that we can agree on and that we do like. Thank you.
Thank you for your comments, Marcia. Next, we'll move to, we'll try Robert Vandehook again. You should now be able to unmute yourself. If you're speaking, Robert, we still cannot hear you. You might want to try exiting the Zoom platform and signing in again. Maybe that would help. Or you could try dialing in over your phone, but we'll move to the next commenter we have, Suzanne Cumming.
Is it on? Yes. Good afternoon, commissioners. Thank you for this opportunity. I'm Suzanne Cumming. I'm a lawyer and member of Sierra Club on the executive committee of the Airport Marina Group. I'd like to speak in support of Mayor Francois' original motion. I'd like it to be placed on the next governing board meeting agenda. This has been discussed at earlier governing board meetings, and the public overwhelmingly supports it. It's time to move it forward. Please remember when you come to item 2E on this agenda. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, it looks like Robert has dropped off the meeting. I believe he's going to try to sign back in.
Hello, this is Robert Roy Vandehook. I have to get rid of the Zoom part. Do the leave button. Okay, can you hear me still?
Yes, we can hear you.
Oh, good. So am I speaking on general public comment or on item 1E, and do I get 4 minutes total between the two? Or can you, before you start my timer?
All of your comments, if you could speak under this item one, comments from the public not on the agenda, and it's 4 minutes total.
Okay, so the item that 1E, that Dean Francois, his input, is that still coming up then, right? It's 1E?
That item, we have an item for establishing the governing board agenda, that's 2E.
2E.
But we don't have anything on the agenda speaking to an item from Dean Francois specifically. So if you want to mention anything not on the agenda, you can do so under this item.
Okay. Well, you'll let me know if I've gone on to the agenda. Okay, go ahead and start. So I have four comments I'd like to make, one about the US EPA, and then a little bit about Dean Francois, and a little bit about the Native American village of 800 AD. That's where the warehouse restaurant is, and the California Yacht Club was located, or is located, but had a fire also. And then I'd like to talk about a rock called Jurassic Slate that was heavily burned in the fire. Much of the area of the Pacific Palisades has a geology of slate, like in Mandeville Canyon, and our beaches used to have a lot of Jurassic slate forming. They'd erode into flat shingles, like skipping stones, and we don't have that anymore. So we need to try to find a way to restore that shingle to Jurassic slate shingle to our beach sands. And then the Native American village that I wanted to speak to about, and I want to acknowledge that we're on indigenous people's lands here that they never ceded to our United States. And 800 AD, there was a village, and it's, the artifacts were spread all over Area A, 140 acres. So the entire Area A has both human remains of 800 AD of the village of the indigenous Tongva ancestors and possibly Chumash ancestors, and also their utility goods and things they use on a day-to-day basis, and their food items, lots of seashells that you see distributed through Area A were once food items, so those are artifacts as well. Regarding the US EPA, we never did do an EIS, federal EIS. As you know, the US Army Corps of Engineers pulled out of the Biona project, but yet the US EPA, the US Army Corps of Engineers wrote a letter, and so did the US Fish and Wildlife Service on endangered species, that they were not going to be participating because they felt it was inadequate. And I'd like to know how the US EPA is supposed to be in connection to the US Army Corps of Engineers and the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service. And I'd like an explanation, hopefully, from Eric Ulinsky on how the U.S. EPA as a federal agency can continue to pour money into a project when the two federal agencies that own land, like the U.S. Army owns the Biona levees and the estuary part of our river, Biona River estuary, and then also the federal endangered species. Seems like U.S. EPA should not be funding the Santa Monica Bay Restoration Commission anymore, and be neutral or not make comments regarding the Biona wetlands. Thanks. I hope you can address that, Erica, either now or in the future with through your superiors. Or I know we're heading into the Trump administration, so I don't know what's going to happen. But none of us do. But thank you very much.
Thank you for your comments, Robert. That'll conclude item one.
Okay, thank you all. We're going to move on to item two, the order of agenda. Staff does not propose any changes in the order of agenda. Do we hear any members that want to make a change to the order?
I just have a question on the Bayona resolution. We have two versions that are very close. I thought they were going to be distributed to add to the February governing board meeting agenda. So do we need to add that to this agenda, or can we talk about it?
We can talk about it during the agenda, and
okay.
And we'll just try and figure out.
Sure.
Luke, can we have the report from the?
Yes, Chair. Thank you. I would like to start by thanking everyone for joining us here in person today, despite the unprecedented wildfires that have brought so much destruction, pain, and tragedy to the Los Angeles area. I'm glad you all are safe and healthy, and I'm sorry for any members and loved ones who have been impacted. The Executive Committee last met on November 21st, 2024. During that meeting, Executive Committee members discussed updates to the Comprehensive Conservation and Management Plan. The Executive Committee considered the possibility of reformatting the action plan of the CCMP to make it more accessible. and it was decided that a timeline of the CCMP update would be reviewed during this meeting. So that will appear later on in the agenda today. Since that last meeting, Commission staff have been working with the Bay Foundation on the Santa Monica Bay National Estuary Program's 2026 work plan, which will be available for the governing board to review in February. A draft of it will be available. Commission staff have also been planning the annual community members workshop, which is used to inform and gather feedback from the public on the 2026 work plan. And this year we are looking for feedback on the CCMP update as well. That workshop will take place on February 26th, 2025. Staff will share details of the workshop after the meeting. I would also like to add that the general public is the target audience for the workshop, so we encourage executive committee members to spread the word about the event. Please distribute it within your organization and your networks if possible. And if any members of the executive committee plan on attending that workshop, we just ask that you notify commission staff before doing so. I am proud to announce that all Prop 50 grant projects are now executed and underway. California State University Fullerton's project monitoring rocky intertidal habitats was executed in December of last year. We are happy to have finally reached this milestone of execution of all those projects. But on another note, at least one Prop 50 project has field sites within the Palisades fire burn zone. So staff will continue to gather information on potential impacts to Prop 50 projects in the coming weeks. I would also like to announce that the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration has recently put out a call for proposals for $20 million in funding. This funding is available for projects that will advance the coastal habitat restoration and climate resilience priorities of tribes and underserved communities. That has been identified as a priority for the commission in previous meetings. So I will distribute more information on that after the meeting in case you are interested in learning more. That concludes my update.
Thank you, Luke. I'm going to move on to consideration approval of the November 21st Executive Committee meeting. Do I have a motion?
I'll move.
And do I have a second?
Second.
Thank you. Caitlin, can you do a roll call?
Yes, thank you, Chair. Okay, just sharing the roster. Jonathan Bishop?
Aye.
Dean Francois?
Yes.
Gloria Gray? You may have to dial *6 to unmute yourself. Okay, I'll return to Member Gray. Tracy Lovrick?
Yes.
Annalisa Moe?
Yes.
Michael Quill?
Yes.
And I'll return to Member Gray, Gloria Gray.
Yes.
Was that a yes?
Can you hear me? Yes.
Yeah. Sorry, one more time.
Yes.
Thank you. The minutes are approved.
Thank you. Okay, now I'm going to move on to item 2D, which is consideration of approval of a revised executive committee meeting calendar. Caitlin?
Yes, thank you, Chair. So I will just share the calendar in one moment. But for a recap, at the November executive committee meeting, members considered approval of the 2025 calendar and requested that meetings be moved earlier in the day. To be more consistent with the governing board meetings. So staff has worked to confirm availability of venues and of our audiovisual support team to move the meeting start times to 10 a.m. We sent a proposed revised calendar and staff report with a new start time of 10 a.m., and that would be for meetings starting in March. Meetings starting in May. This meeting and the March meeting are still set for 1 to 3 p.m. And let me share the draft calendar here. Okay, hopefully you can see that. Okay, great. And since sending out this revised calendar, we learned that this facility that we're at today is no longer available in November. And our goal is to find another venue that's available at the 10 to 12 time slot. But we'll continue looking for a venue. We may have to consider moving that meeting to a 1 p.m. meeting if we cannot find something. But at this time, we recommend approving the revised calendar with the November meeting location as to be determined, and staff will continue to update the executive committee on finding a venue for that day.
Thank you, Caitlin. Do I have a motion?
I'll make that motion.
Thank you, Dean. A second?
Could I just have a question? Is this place available here as a venue? No?
It no longer is at 10 a.m.
Yeah, so this venue is no longer available on November 20th.
I see. At all, okay.
Correct.
Do I have a second?
I'll second.
Okay, Caitlin, can you do a roll call?
Yes. Give me one moment to share the roster. Okay, Jonathan Bishop.
Aye.
Dean Francois.
Yes.
Gloria Gray. Okay, I'll return to Gloria Gray. Tracy Lavrick.
Yes.
Yes.
Gloria, that was a yes?
Yes.
Thank you. And Annalisa Moe.
Yes.
Michael Quill.
Yes.
Thank you. The meeting calendar, revised meeting calendar is approved.
Thank you very much. We're going to move on to the agenda for the governing board meeting. Dean, I know you have a request. I'd like to go through the three items that we've got to make sure that everybody's okay with them, and then we'll consider that. So, the first item is the selection of the governing board chair, Caitlin.
Yes. Sorry, just let me pull up my notes here. So commission staff had sent out a staff report and draft nomination and election procedures in advance of this meeting, and they're also posted on our meeting calendar webpage. But to summarize, the commission's memorandum of understanding states that voting governing board members select a chair from among voting governing board members. The chair presides over all governing board meetings, works closely with commission staff to convene meetings and prepare agendas and reports, and serves as chair of the executive committee. According to the MOU, the selection of the chair occurs at the first governing board meeting in odd-numbered years, so therefore the next selection is scheduled to take place at the February 21st governing board meeting. And once selected, the chair will serve until the next selection, which will occur at the first governing board meeting in 2027. Staff recommend that the nomination period open tomorrow, Friday, January 17th, and close Friday, February 7th. After the nomination period closes, commission staff will send out the list of nominees received to members and post the list on the commission's website. Any governing board member or their alternate may nominate a voting governing board member to serve as chair, and self-nominations from voting members or their alternates are allowed. Floor nominations are also allowed before the selection takes place at the governing board meeting, and if there is more than one nomination, nominees will be given a few minutes to state their interest in the position. Thereafter, a selection will take place by vote of voting governing board members or their designated alternate, and the nominee that receives the greatest number of votes will be selected to serve as governing board chair.
Any questions on that? Okay. We'll move on to the vice chair.
Okay, so we also distributed a staff report and draft nomination and election procedures for the vice chairs. The MOU states that the voting governing board members select vice chairs from among the voting governing board members that serve on the executive committee and may act as chair in the chair's absence. The nomination and selection procedures for the vice chairs is virtually the same as for the governing board chair that I just outlined. One difference is that the number of vice chair seats is determined by who is selected to serve as the governing board chair. So the MOU states that 5 vice chairs are selected. However, the chief deputy director of the State Water Board is an ex officio voting member of our executive committee. So if the chief deputy director of the State Water Board is selected as chair, the MOU allows voting governing board members to select one additional vice chair to the executive committee. So in short, 5 seats are available if the governing board chair is not the chief deputy director of the State Water Board. 6 seats are available if the governing board chair is the chief deputy director of the State Water Board. And I have a little slide that might be helpful to break this down. Oops. Just give me one moment here.
And while Caitlin's bringing that up, I will explain why that's an issue, because when I was voted chair, it turned out we had an even number of folks on the executive committee, which could have led to a tie vote on not being able to move forward with items or make a decision. It didn't happen, but it's theoretically possible.
Yeah, so this slide is kind of just breaking down those 2 scenarios that are outlined in the draft nomination and selection procedures. And so staff are seeking at least 6 nominations to ensure that all vice chair seats are filled in either scenario. So that means that we may have a contest if there are 6 nominees but only 5 seats, for example. And as with the governing board chair selection, the selection of the vice chairs is scheduled to take place at the first governing board meeting of odd number years, and the vice chairs will continue to serve until the first governing board meeting in 2027. And we recommend that the same nomination period for chair selection be used for the vice chairs, so opening tomorrow and closing on February 7th. Again, any governing board member can nominate a voting member to serve as vice chair, and self-nominations from voting members are allowed. And we will send a list of nominees to members once received. And floor nominations are also permitted. And we'd just like to encourage all of our current executive committee members to consider continuing to serve. And I can answer any questions.
Any questions from Commissioner? Okay.
I have a question.
Yeah.
I have a question. The vice chairs are the same members of the executive committee, is that correct?
That's what they are.
Okay. I thought so.
The only other duty of a vice chair is if the chair is unavailable, a vice chair may be asked to chair the governing board meeting. Okay, we're going to move on to the next item that's proposed for the agenda. The consideration of approval of revised SMB NEP bipartisan infrastructure law work plan. Luke, could you introduce this?
Thank you. The Bay Foundation is requesting adjustments to the bipartisan infrastructure law, or BIL, work plan that was originally approved by the governing board at the August 2022 meeting. The 2 subsequent BIL work plans did not require governing board approval, according to the US EPA. However, the requested adjustments are substantial enough. They're a substantial enough change to require approval by the governing board. The Bay Foundation proposes to reallocate $150,000 to support community-based work on existing beach dune sites along Santa Monica Bay, as well as $1 million for the purchase of a research vessel. The Bay Foundation is requesting reductions to the Palos Verdes Kelp Restoration Project, Palos Verdes Abalone Restoration Project, Santa Monica Pier Breakwater Rocky Intertidal Preserve, and the Venice Marina Del Rey Playa Del Rey Beach Dune Project to accommodate this budget adjustment. The budget reallocation for the Beach Dune project is requested because the Venice Marina del Rey Playa del Rey Beach Dune project will take more time and resources than previously anticipated. The budget reallocation for the research vessel is requested to increase the fieldwork capacity of the Bay Foundation, which would benefit multiple projects and programs. The Bay Foundation has provided a detailed breakdown of the budget adjustments as well as additional rationale in a document that was emailed out to executive committee members as well as posted online ahead of this meeting. That document also provides information on additional resources the Bay Foundation is using to bolster projects and programs slated to receive a budget cut. That concludes my summary of this item, but Tom, I could hand the floor over to you if you'd like to provide more context.
Thank you, Luke. I think the one additional piece I'd like to share is that we had intended to expend funds from yet another source to move forward with engineering, design, and implementation of the Santa Monica Breakwater Rocky Natural Preserve. The sunset date on those funds fell well short of where we thought we could get with all of those processes. So we wanted to make sure that that project moved forward. So we're still investing BIL funds in the early stages of baseline characterization, which is a physical, biological characterization of the area to look at wave patterns, circulation patterns. There's been a great deal of interest in the many potential benefits of this project, including water quality, perhaps increased fish yields, and additional protection for the Santa Monica Pier from sea level rise and impacts due to increased wave storm energy, which all consistent with climate change modeling and expectations for the region. The reductions in the BIL budget for the kelp restoration project, for the abalone restoration project, are in large part offset or eclipsed by other funds that the Bay Foundation has been fortunate enough to gain access towards, grants that we competed for and won. So we're not diminishing the amount of resources going into those efforts. They're, in fact, increased in some cases very significantly. And now what we're trying to do is make sure that a couple key pieces of the work moving forward, namely investing in that community-based effort in existing beach dune sites, keeps us moving forward with beach dune restoration activities in the Bay, and for us to satisfy the outputs, the potential outcomes, and the time frame and other elements associated with the other projects, which are contained within Appendix 1 in the document that I shared. We need the additional infrastructure of an added vessel. Certainly worked to satisfy requirements of the BIL program itself to inform this. We will continue to utilize other charter vessels and other resources, but nonetheless, the boat seems to be a critical element at this point in time.
So could you elaborate a little, because I got a little lost. You are going to be reducing the breakwater funds from the BLI, but the other funds have a limited time frame. So it seems that you would want to do the opposite. So I'm not quite understanding. If you can't utilize those other funds because they run out.
So what we wanted to do was to continue to move forward with the baseline characterization of the Breakwater Rocky Intertidal Preserve. Then, with that information in hand, we'll have an understanding of what parameters or limits any future work for the enhancement or changes to the breakwater in the area immediately around it could allow. A couple of the key pieces for us, Jonathan, is there extant seagrasses in the area? What you're asking?
No, I'm just trying to understand the... are you utilizing other funds instead of the BIL?
So No worries, sir. I understood your intention. So the BIL funds that are being applied to the Rocky Intertidal Preserve are the only funds being expended at this time to move that project forward.
Okay. Maybe I still misunderstood. I'm not trying to make a problem. I'm just not following.
Sorry if I'm not being clear.
You are reducing the amount that you're spending on it.
Correct.
So you're going to do the needed work for less money.
We are going to take care. The way I maybe should get this across, and I appreciate the opportunity to share it, is that we had anticipated taking on additional tasks associated with building informing that project to a design, build, permitting type of phases. Not knowing that the monies that we had were not going to get us all the way through that, because the other funds that we were pulling from were going to sunset before we got there, no longer warranted expending as much funding to try to get us to some of those additional phases. The funds would have been used to complement one another for engineering and permitting. The baseline characterization still being necessary in order to move anything forward, in our opinion, was a worthwhile investment of the BIL funds. And so that's why you're seeing that reduction in costs. It is a reduced scope of work and the reduced costs associated with that.
And is there plans to look for other funding to do the next pieces?
Exactly.
Thank you. Any other questions?
I guess I'm taking over. I got the agenda. I got it. I've been paying attention. All right. If there's no more questions on the revised work plan for the bill funding, then we'll move on to 2E4. Presentation on the NEP fiscal year 2025 annual report. And Caitlin is going to introduce the item.
Yes, thank you. So this item is a joint presentation by Commission staff and the Bay Foundation staff highlighting the Santa Monica Bay National Estuary Program's accomplishments from the last fiscal year. So that'll be October 2023 to September 2024. And since 2020, we've scheduled these presentations following the completion of the NEP's annual report to US EPA. For the February Governing Board meeting, we'll provide a similar brief presentation to celebrate efforts of the NEP and partners in implementing our CCMP actions and goals. And this is also a nice opportunity to reflect on what we've accomplished implementing the fiscal year 2024 work plan before we jump into a presentation on the upcoming work plan in February. Any questions? Let me see if anyone has hands raised in Zoom. Nope. I think we can move to the next item.
Thank you, Caitlin. Then we'll move on to 2F, discussion regarding the timeline for the update of the comprehensive conservation.
No,
I'm sorry. 2E5. Oh, 2E5. I was doing so well. Just a couple minutes and it's all falling apart. So 2E5, presentation on the draft NEP fiscal year 2026 work plan. Luke, please.
Thank you, Karen. So each year, the Commission collaborates with the Bay Foundation to develop the SMB NEP annual work plan, which identifies planned tasks and activities to further implementation of the CCMP for the upcoming federal fiscal year. Following the Governing Board's approval of the annual work plan, the Bay Foundation submits the plan to the US EPA as part of the application for the annual Federal Clean Water Act Section 320 NEP grant. The annual work plans also aid the US EPA in tracking grant expenditures and progress towards achieving SMBRC objectives or SMB NEP objectives. The 2026 work plan outlines next steps, partners, objectives, deliverables, and outcomes for work to be performed between October 1st, 2025 and September 30th, 2026. It must be submitted to the US EPA by June 1st of this year for review and approval. Any questions or comments from anybody?
Is this the place where we decide on the Biono resolution adding to the agenda?
No, not yet. That will be the, yeah, so this would be,
E5?
E5.
Or are we adding an E6?
We're on E5.
Okay. Pardon. I thought we were on, okay, we're on E4.
Yeah, you can bring that up. Yeah,
under E5.
Yep. Okay. Unless, we're on E5. So yeah, so feel free to.
So we're on E5 then. Okay. Mm-hmm. So do you have the draft that we worked on that you can show on the screen? I thought it was going to be passed out, but it didn't get passed out.
I was instructed by our council not to distribute it ahead of the meeting.
So.
Just to clarify with Kate, this is Eric Gilman, Council. You know, we've been in touch, Dean, and it was sort of left in your court asking if you wanted us to send the version that we had attached to the email yesterday afternoon. We didn't hear back that I'm aware of, so there's nothing to distribute at this point. I think it's another question as to whether this could be put on the agenda, and I'll defer to Luke, but I know that there's some significant time constraints. And we also have some more work to do on this draft if we want to do it, you know, together, involving discussion with CDFW, who's named, and one of our members. So these things, you know, take some time. And right now we don't have a draft that we've all agreed upon. So I'll turn it back over to Luke Buck and, you know, chime in if there are any questions.
I mean, we had a... We had a draft that was the version I worked on, and then I guess you and Jonathan marked it up, and it was my understanding we were going to see today that version of mine with the markups, and there weren't that many. There were a lot of clerical things here and there, and then there were like two paragraphs that were changed, and I thought that that's what we were going to resolve today. But I guess what you're saying is because Jonathan and I and staff had not come together with something in time for this meeting, you don't want to present it. Is that the advice?
Well, I think that's one of the issues that we're working through. There are different pathways we can go. I think the other issue, and I'll again defer to Luke, you know, you had an interest in getting this on the agenda for the February meeting, and it's a full agenda. So we had some concerns about timing. There was another member who was asking to get a resolution on that agenda. And again, there are some timing issues there, but Luke can speak more to that.
Point of order.
Marsha, public comment is over.
Yeah, I understand that, but no, I'm sorry, a point of order. It's not a comment.
We can't allow you to speak.
It's not a comment. It's a point of order.
I'm sorry, Marsha.
Can I ask the attorney a question about order?
What's your question?
If a member of a body puts a motion forward, it doesn't necessarily have to be agreed on by everybody. I mean, you have a motion, you have a second, and, you know, this has been going on for a long time. That's my point. The last meeting, it was item number 13. It's still in the work plan, and I just don't understand. It seems like somebody's trying to put it off when... A normal process is a member of a body puts a motion forward. If it doesn't get all the votes, great. But I don't understand what's being put in its place. This is very unusual public process.
It is not unusual. The normal process for this type of request is to have a member make the request at a governing board meeting. Dean Francois stated he would not be there in person to present. At the February governing board meeting, Dean made that comment at the December meeting. and we could not come to an agreement on the language of the resolution. Therefore, it is not recommended to put this item on the February agenda.
So,
well, I just want to make it clear that my version was sent in December, and it wasn't revised at all until a day or two before this meeting, when I noticed it wasn't on the agenda. We could have taken the version that was corrected and presented that could have been used.
So, Dean, sorry to interrupt, but
I'm going to be at the February meeting. You know, if you wanted Fish and Wildlife to be a part of this, that could have been suggested months and months and months ago, and it wasn't. And in fact, I announced at the regular board meeting if anyone was interested in participating, and they did not speak up at the time. So I just want to make it clear that, you know, it's kind of sad that I'm getting this news now at this meeting.
So I'm sorry, I had to step out. I had a fire issue to deal with. But so I don't exactly know where we are, but I'm going to jump in and put my feet in my mouth, which is to say, I'm happy to have your resolution or any resolution on the meeting. I just want us to talk about the timing of it, because we have a very full agenda for February. Yes.
Actually, I apologize that I don't remember the name of the member, but at the last governing board meeting, we actually did have a member who explicitly said that she would like to be a part of the process. And I just want to make sure that that was incorporated since then.
Yeah, she did note that. She did note that at the December meeting, yes, when we were working on this. So, you know, I inquired about getting her involved, but I had heard nothing back since mid-December on my latest version that we'd worked on. So, you know, delays and delays. I guess there's not else much they can do. The February meeting, you really think that these 5 items on this February meeting is going to tie up so much time?
Well, that's why we should talk about it. That's why we want to talk about it today. I do think it'll take a lot of time. And I also want to make sure that we have time for public comment, because every time we have a bionic item, we have a large amount of public comment. So I would expect us to spend at least an hour on this. So I want to, you know, I want people to be cognizant that that this is not a short item. And so do we have time for it? If people think that we want to put it on there, I'm happy to put it on there. I don't have any issue with having a bionic item on the agenda. I just want us to make sure that we have a number of items that are also there. We also had another resolution that was requested to be on that we told that author that we weren't going to do it because of the timing on this meeting. So,
that's understandable. If we had had it here today, I think it could have not taken too much time at our board meeting in February. But the fact that we don't have it here today, yeah, that's why it's going to take so much time at the board meeting, because we could have worked it out today at this meeting, and then it wouldn't have necessarily had taken so much time, because that's really what our job is here at the executive committee level, to try to do that. So,
I would like to hear from other executive committee members on, you know, their thinking about it.
Annalisa. Could I make one clarification to make? Sorry, Annalisa. The other resolution in question here, the LA County Coastal Resilience Initiative, that has already been presented on and introduced at the governing board level. That has not happened with a Biona resolution.
Quickly, I do have like a process question, because I haven't myself been through this process before. If we move forward to set the 2026 work plan and then come back at a later month with this item, are there opportunities for amendments to that work plan?
No, I don't believe so, because of the timing for the work plan.
Mm-hmm. And then I just have a comment as well that I would not feel comfortable moving forward with the item unless the board member who expressed interest was brought into the conversation.
So I'm sorry.
Talking about the Fish and Wildlife, right? Yeah.
I could make a comment there. I believe the member you're speaking of is Aaron Wilson of CDFW.
Thank you.
We have contacted CDFW and Aaron Wilson. We have not had the chance to speak with that member about this resolution yet, which, that's all I have to say.
Yeah. And Dee, I'm sorry, I don't mean to put you on the spot, but I'm curious about the application of the resolution and the timeliness of it. Is there a point in the first half of 2026 where this resolution applies to some process or some other body outside this to help move something forward, or is there something not so time dependent, perhaps, is the way I put it?
No, I don't think there's anything time sensitive about this. It's just a matter of, it's kind of frustrating that it's just taken as long as it has. That's the main thrust of my concern. When we have other people together that are trying to work on a document, we should all work diligently to move on. And I'm hoping that, you know, if we have Fish and Wildlife with us, we do all that and we get it all taken care of, and we come up with something sound and better. And you know, if you want to move it off, it'll be April then, February. It'll be our March meeting and then April board meeting. And but hopefully by our March meeting, we should have something that is solid that we can put together, and we've included Fish and Wildlife. And I was, you know, I think we should have brought them on earlier when I originally had asked if there was any other offers. And, of course, the other reason I wanted to push it now is, well, Jonathan is still here, and he's worked, and I want to thank Jonathan and the staff of the commission for working hard to move with this. And you know, and so now Jonathan won't be here, and it just sets it back because of that. And that was the main concern over that. But other than that, I think it's fine. We can move ahead, you know, later date if that's the wish of this executive committee.
Well, I'm not necessarily saying that we need to push it off. What I'm suggesting is that if folks are wanting it to be on the February meeting, what we would need to do is have a meeting scheduled with Fish and Wildlife coming up to talk about it. I'm not comfortable without, you know, she had asked to be part of it, and we and I apologize if it took me a little while over the vacation to take a look at it. But I'm okay with meeting with her, and if we can get that meeting set before we need to send out the agenda, if we have an agreement, the only thing that would concern me is going forward with something that they don't have some comfort with, at least with the language. If we go forward with that, then, you know, I think we're going to I'd be uncomfortable without bringing it back to discuss their concerns so that we all could decide if that's appropriate or not for moving forward. We could do that at the governing board meeting. I'm also okay with that. I'd like to kind of go out with a little bit of a bang. My suggestion is that we add it tentatively to the agenda. I want to let the folks that are very interested in it know that it's going to be at the end of the agenda, and that if we run out of time, it'll get pushed to the next one, because we have business that we have to do because of the timing of the grants with the EPA. But my suggestion is that we attentively put it on the agenda. We have a meeting with Fish and Wildlife to go over it. I think that if Dean, you saw the changes that we proposed, it sounded like you were, you know, okay with them. They may not be exactly what you.
There was one thing about mechanical versus machine restoration, and I believe the non-mechanical was taken out, which includes machine restoration. Is that something that you thought Fish and Wildlife was concerned that they wanted the ability to be able to do mechanical restoration in there, or what?
So
I think that was the main point that was
okay.
That you had.
I had actually taken out the things. I was trying not to to put the Fish and Wildlife in a spot that
right.
they couldn't
understandable.
Agree with.
Understandable.
And that seemed to be prescribing, you know, more than
yeah.
Than, but we could have that discussion.
But
with
if
them.
We get those kinks worked out between now and February's meeting, then it could possibly be a smaller time commitment at the February meeting, right?
Well, and, I don't know yeah, about that.
I mean, it's hard to say. but let's just say we're still at odds and might be best to hold off then, right? But if we all come to some form of an agreement with that, does that sound reasonable? We can go ahead with it.
Okay. So unless, I'm sorry I missed part of it, but do we get through the rest of it? For the agenda?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm going to suggest that we add it to the agenda, that we hold our meeting with Fish and Wildlife to go over the terms and tentatively, let's have it on the agenda so we can get it moving forward. Okay.
John, can I just ask when the meeting with Fish and Wildlife is planned?
I don't have the date off the top of my head, but Luke probably does.
January 24th.
Okay, thank you.
Anyone have any issues with that at this point?
No.
Could I ask, Dean, will you be in attendance at the February meeting to introduce this?
Yes. When we were going over the schedule, I indicated that that's the same weekend. We moved that to Friday instead of Thursday. Is that right?
Correct. Friday, February 21st.
And I did have a problem with the Friday instead of Thursday because it is the weekend that I teach handicap skiing. So, but if it's going to be on that agenda, I am going to not do it that weekend so I can be here. So,
okay. And we have a comment from Michael.
Yes, thank you. You know, and I and forgive me. I've been surrounded with feces and fire. It's the story of my life. So I apologize for not being there today. What's being spoken of now, and I tried not to interfere too much with the process because I'm catching up with a lot, is that this is a hot ticket item, and I don't think it's going to go fast on any agenda, and I think that the more transparent and the more open and the easier we take it and try not to get it done quickly, if it's not really really going to be kosher on all accounts, I just think. This is, you know, this has been bubbling since I've been involved in this, and I didn't get involved until 2007 in this world. But I'm very cautious about anything getting done quickly so we can get it on the agenda and anything to move quickly. I just think it, that's my vibe on what's going on here. And I apologize if I'm not that well informed, but just as more of a general public kind of guy, I just feel that that's what I'm picking up on, and that's my response right now to this. So I really want to follow Jonathan's lead on this, bowing to the seasoned veteran as well, but I also don't think that we should do anything in a quick manner, and DFW needs to step in and be clear and steady on what they're doing here, and that's what I got to say.
Yeah, Michael, I appreciate what you're saying, and I don't necessarily think it's going to be fast, but I also recognize that we have a lot of concern, and it's been and our own processing has delayed things, and I don't want to continue to delay things.
I just want to note, if I could, that it's not like this is major specifics in it. It's just general guidelines of what we're looking forward to do. And certainly if we had a draft with us today, we could have hashed a lot of it out. It would have made the meeting go quicker, I would think. But I understand and appreciate the concerns of transparency, and you know, nothing's ever easy and nothing goes fast. And yeah, I appreciate that. And so, had we had that today, the draft here, then it might have been a different story. So, I understand and appreciate if we need to hold off to make it right and not tie up.
I think we would need CDFW in on board as well.
So. Right. Yeah, I just don't know why we didn't include them earlier. It's, you know, we should have done that. So, okay.
So I'm going to make a recommendation at this point that asking for a motion for the agenda for the February 21st board meeting, including the resolution on Biona as the last item on the agenda, with the understanding that if we run out of time, we will push that. But if we don't, we will have the opportunity to hear it at that. I need a motion, if anyone would like to make it.
I'll make that motion. Can we make that item tentative so that if things get fouled up in the process and we don't come to anything, then we just knock it off for that meeting? Is that?
Oh, we can always remove an item.
Okay, that's fine.
Agenda if things don't come together, but. Do I have a second?
I'll second that.
Okay, Caitlin, would you call the roll?
And sure, just to clarify, the item we're adding is a presentation on the resolution?
No, we're adding a consideration by the governing board meeting of the resolution.
Okay, thank you. Just let me share the roster. Okay, Jonathan Bishop?
Aye.
Dean Francois?
Yes.
Gloria Gray?
Yes.
Tracy Laverick?
Yes.
Annalisa Moe?
Yes.
And Michael Quill?
Yes.
Thank you. The agenda is set.
All right. Thank you all. I apologize for having to step out.
I apologize. I apologize for being late to the meeting. I went to the other location, and I was already late, and man, I rushed it. I didn't realize I was holding up a quorum. I didn't know we were even on a quorum here, so excuse me for that.
Oh, no, that's quite all right, Dean. I'll remind everyone we can't actually conduct any business without a quorum of the executive committee. And so that's why we always are trying, and we need a quorum in the room so that the folks that are participating virtually can participate.
Right.
Okay.
So we knew we were right on the edge, huh?
We're always right on the edge.
I was speeding right here. Don Lincoln.
I had asked Tom last time that we could have a discussion concerning the timeline for the CCMP and how that the revised CCMP, how that timing is going to work. I think Luke, you were going to introduce the item, and then Tom was going to present, and we have a lot of time.
Thank you, Chair. I'll introduce the item. So we will now continue our discussion of the CCMP update. During the last meeting, we discussed the need to edit CCMP actions for accuracy, the need to consider member and public input for actions and next steps, and the need to identify opportunities to improve equity in the CCMP update. During that discussion, Tom Ford also suggested new action categories to make the CCMP more approachable, readable for the public. And at that meeting, Chair Bishop requested a discussion at this executive committee meeting on the process and timeline for updating the CCMP. So to begin that discussion, I will now hand it over to Tom.
Thank you, Luke. And thank you, Caitlin, for getting that slide up. Dean and the rest of us aren't the only ones just having challenges today. Really what I'm hoping to put forward with the ample amount of time that we have, that the schedule, the timeline that I've got on the next slide here, it sounds workable for this group. and that what other types of information about how we're going to go about this process would be of value in addition, or taking some things off as well. But if we get to the next slide, which is a busy one, my apologies. But this is what you have to do to go from Word to PDF to PowerPoint. So as Luke, I think, already prefaced and shared well, we each year we undergo a process with the public, with the EC, with the governing board, getting input on an annual work plan. Oftentimes, much of the input that we receive there is applicable for a work plan, but also applicable for the next CCMP update. And just maybe a quick pause. CCMP stands for the Comprehensive Conservation and Management Plan. It is ostensibly the strategic plan for the National Estuary Program here in Santa Monica Bay. Every of the 28 NEPs develops this tool. So we anticipate being able to pull from comments this meeting, comments at the upcoming community workshop, at the governing board in February, and those other meetings that we've had leading up to this over the past years. There's a lot of information there for us to work with. So we'd like to bring that into the process. And I think in our direct public engagement with folks, when we've left it in a place where, please tell us what you want, in addition to asking them some more focused questions, I think we've been able to satisfy the public's interests and needs better, as well as hit on the points that we need to get information on. Obviously, there is funding guidance. There is a number of structures that this program administered through the US EPA require of us to complete. Moving forward into the middle part of this calendar year, in May and in June, we anticipate being able to bring back some summaries of the input that we've received, a template of what a given action item looks like, and those structural elements that Luke talked to, so that folks can see what this thing's going to look like if we start to flesh it out further. So we anticipate doing that over the course of the EC meeting in May, the governing board meeting in June. Then we can take that back, give everybody a quick update in August, continue to respond to the input that we're receiving at that point about the structure, about how it looks, refine that, and then are looking forward to bringing in an early draft of what the CCMP would look like in October to this, to the governing board. I did not task the EC in July or September, nor did I in November, but I would imagine that, again, this is where I left some of these things open to hear from y'all as to, you know, what you want, what you might foresee us putting in there to help use this time to help push this plan forward, aside from maybe progress type updates from us as to how it's proceeding and what we're accomplishing. If we're able to hold to this timeline, then I think we get to walk into December and say, here's the draft for consideration. And then in January of 2026, knowing that we don't have a calendar yet established, coming back to the management, the executive committee, to take a look at where we're at, to say, hey, do you guys think this is ready to go? And then put that before the governing board in February 2026 for approval, which would then allow us to align the FY 2027 work plan priorities with the newly adopted, updated strategic plan.
So I don't really have a problem with your schedule. It's essentially a year from now. Mm-hmm. What I didn't hear, and maybe it's because I'm a little distracted, what I didn't hear was I heard a lot about the format and the structure. I didn't hear much about the content. So when are you expecting to have essentially actions that then would allow for a work plan to be built off of that? Because that seems that you need that in the same kind of time frame.
Understood. And I think we've spent some time in the fall of 2024 at this meeting looking at the present funding guidance from the US EPA, looking at our past involvement. Certainly we're working from a position where we have many established partners and many established programs that drive us towards those now four priorities stated by the US EPA for their current funding guidance. And I can quick read those off to you. That is reducing nutrient pollution to protect water quality and public health. A bit of a paraphrase. Make resilience investments to address climate change and recurring extreme weather events. Number three is to engage overburdened and underserved communities. And number four is to reduce trash. I think our past many years of work often embody many of these targets. So I think there's a lot of things that will translate from our current plan into the next plan, but yet again in that different structure. And then I think that there are opportunities especially in engaging overburdened and underserved communities that this body has spoke to over the past calendar year, if not more, recognizing that we're not doing a great job there. So part of honoring number three is when we are doing, and that's what the headline of that very busy slide suggests, is that there's some folks that we need to go out and target and talk to and hear from them directly rather than have the anticipation that they're going to find us, that they're going to come here in meaningful numbers and share with us what they want. Albeit, we do get a good deal of public involvement from a lot of folks. We know that there's folks we're not touching.
Erica has her hand raised.
Thanks, Caitlin. Thanks, Tom. So maybe building off of Jonathan's question, so in terms of action samples, is that, so I'm looking at May of this year, is that, I want to make sure I'm interpreting what your action samples the same way you are. Is that like in a built out, like an actual, we've taken input over the past few months, these seem to be priorities, and this is content and a draft structure. Is that like in Word or PDF? Is that how I should read that?
I think that is how I hope you are reading it.
Okay, good.
And I think my sense is, Erica, we'll hopefully be able to at least grab a good subset of these actions that are likely to come in through the early stages of this process and really pencil those out very thoroughly so that folks can say, yeah, that flow of information, that degree of information works for us. That's something that we'd like to see more of the actions that this comprehensive conservation management plan would then embody. And then with that confidence that we're on the right garden path, we can keep moving forward and then fill it out comprehensively over those following months.
Okay. Can I ask another question? I can't tell if there's any other hands raised.
Nobody's else is talking. It's okay. All yours.
What are you thinking in terms of staffing? Kind of who's going to, are you staffing up to help with this or contract support or using the staff you have now?
We intend to staff up in order to work on this project. The intention of the I almost said the structure of that position, the roles and responsibilities of that person would be to help us and perhaps lead aspects of this work. Having done that and having that familiarity would position that person to then, I think, best help us administer the progress of the CCMP, aid us with work plan development, and very specifically looking to bring somebody in with an adequate skill set to also aid us driving forward the comprehensive monitoring program, okay. which is the feedback mechanism to telling us whether or not any number of these investments are yielding specific ecosystem benefits.
Okay, got it. Thank you. And maybe one thing, and you might, this comment may not go over well. I know like EPA uses certain terminology like management committee and policy committee. We may want to consider just using what, unless this NEP wants to change their terminology.
Okay.
I'm just, you know, readability for this body as well as EPA can figure it out. I want to make it easy on folks. Okay. And maybe I'm not trying to talk in code, but like the policy committee is the governing board and the management committee is this body. But it's okay to call it whatever you deem fit, you know, as a locality. Other NEPs do that as well. But food for thought. Okay, thank you.
Yeah, no, it sounds good, Erica. Thank you for that suggestion.
Can I ask a question for Tom or other members? What do you all recommend putting on the March Executive Committee agenda to advance this this project?
I think we should have it as a standing item on every executive committee meeting until it's adopted, since this is sets the basis for all of the work plans for 5 years. And so I don't want to come to the a long way in and then be saying, well, that may not be the right, what we're trying to get across, and it's too late to change things.
And if I may opine on that, Jonathan, I think what isn't visible on this page, but it was in my thinking, is very similar along those lines. And also that, yes, we often have a lot of things going on around the table. And if we come back early and often or repeatedly, we can do this in smaller, more manageable bites, and allow for all the other processes and things that are moving across the commission's business to proceed. So I'd welcome that as well. Surely we'll be talking about the work plan for 2026, I expect, at the next executive committee meeting, and resultantly some of the conversations there, again, in our experience, probably falling into the CCMP as well.
Any other questions or comments for Tom? Okay.
Can I ask something? All right, I know we're short on time. I'm just thinking of the structure of the next EC meeting. Is there something that, are there tools that would be helpful to have in the room to help facilitate discussion? I don't necessarily expect an answer, but it just might be good for us to think about. So if you want input, like what's the best way to be brainstorming, or do you want people to come, you know, ready? Hopefully people are ready with a couple of ideas, but so I want to put that out there as well.
Appreciate that. And I think that I'll ask Tom and Luke to think about how best to be talking about it at each meeting so that it's a structured discussion.
And I would suggest, Erica, I wanted to not put, I love this expression, to put too much spaghetti on the fork here today, looking at the timeline. There's a lot of other pieces to put into play. A list of everybody that we're reaching out to, how long we might have an online public comment portal to collect information from folks, how we want to structure workshops and invite comment at these various meetings to make sure that it just stays in the forefront of folks' mind. There's a lot more of that to bring into this. Perhaps those are elements that can be incorporated into the next EC meeting as a tool, as you put it, to help us move forward.
Thanks.
Any other questions or comments for Tom? Seeing none, we have a minute for any member comments. Seeing none.
Actually, Jonathan, I apologize, but can I just make one?
Sure.
I just want to share that the Department of Public Health has issued warnings, beach warnings for beaches from Surfrider Beach down to Dockweiler Beach. And until we know more about really what's in the water, we don't exactly know, but Heal the Bay really urges caution and recommends that folks do not enter the water at the sites where the DPH, Department of Public Health warnings have been issued. But folks can check the beach report card if they want to know the latest on that.
And I was being a little facetious. Are there any other announcements?
I wanted to make a comment just regarding on this because I was going to suggest it, and I know we're running out of time, but... The city of Santa Monica has been good, as I understand it, in keeping their street sweeping on schedule. But there's other small cities down the southern beach cities, including Hermosa, where they're trying to curtail it or stop it for weeks and weeks because there's this feeling that the dust from the street cleaners are polluting the air more. So, you know, does anyone have any ideas if there's any science to... Logic says to me we should keep street sweepers going because if the dust continues on the streets, it blows back in the air and goes down our storm drains and into our ocean. So, I mean, is there any, does anyone have any science about this? You would think that street cleaners are better than not street cleaning, and I don't know. Okay. Anyway, just thought I'd throw it out there, but thank goodness to Santa Monica they're doing it. I think that many times politicians like to, if they can curtail street sweeping, they will, because everyone wants to park on the streets and not move their cars. So it seems like that's what's going on, and that's the trend. And you know, there's still streets in L.A. that don't clean the streets till this day, which I don't understand, even in San Pedro, which is close to the water. So anyway, okay.
I will tell you that in the 7 years I lived in San Pedro, we had a street sweeper once.
What, was it a nice street sweeper, Jonathan?
Okay. I will announce the next meeting. Just the governing board meeting is going to be on Friday, February 21st at Las Virgenes. So we're both moving the day and the location for folks. So don't show up at the yacht club. Oh, yeah, I would. Yeah, go ahead, Tracy.
All right, thank you all. My name is Tracy Leverick, and I'm the head of the Resource Conservation District of the Santa Monica Mountains. First, I want to say that my heart goes out to everybody going through the fire that is very active still right now, and I know it affects our broad Southern California family. It also affects the very regional nature in the Santa Monica Mountains where we do our work. For those of the public that aren't aware of our organization, we have proudly served the local community over 60 years. We are a public agency. We focus on watershed management, restoration, wildfire prevention programs, research, and education throughout the Santa Monica Mountains and the surrounding Los Angeles areas and parts of Ventura. As was discussed in the previous meeting here, we have a project in the Topanga Lagoon region that has been heavily impacted by the fire. I'm sure you've all seen the images on the news of the Topanga Motel and the Real Inn sustaining destruction. This has also impacted the Topanga Creek, which is the home to two very important endangered species, the tidewater goby and the southern steelhead trout. We are in active process putting together a rescue plan. The ash in the air and any impending rain, which I don't think there's any very soon, but that will also cause this habitat to degrade severely. So we are urgently pulling the fish from this habitat and transporting them to a safer location. Are seeking funds to help support that emergency process. if anybody is interested in supporting that. There are resources on our website, and also there are fire-based resources on that website. We have under our services tab and resources things you can do right now for house hardening. We also provide house evaluations for wildfire. Another area that we've sustained heavy damage is some of our restoration to the oak woodlands in the area. We're still getting in to be able to see those areas and what the extent of the damages is. This will damage the plants that we have taken care of so well and also some of our educational programs. So thank you very much for your attention, and we'll continue to work in those areas.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
And seeing no other comments, I will adjourn this meeting.
Take care, everyone.
Thank you, Erica.
Take care.